Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Hope Collection, Optimize My Life. We are now, for the foreseeable future, doing a special show on Wednesdays, talking about kindness, the Kindness Club, the Kindness Campaign, and how important understanding kindness is not only for the world, but also for yourself. On Monday through Friday, at 12 Eastern, we offer Hope for Lunch. Optimize My Life has started, and his legacy continues to empower you, to give you the tools to help yourself, to help others. Optimize My Life is a live talk show radio, and each day is a different topic based on the pillars of the Hope Collection. Mondays are about faith and how dealing with struggles in your life is easier. Having faith and belief system to lean upon. Tuesdays are about travel and how to increase your original residual income and your legacy. And just clear your mind and have a better health, mental health. Wednesdays is all about your mind and your body. Thursdays is family time, and how faith can help guide your family in the right direction, and how any struggles you come upon there's other avenues to deal with it. And on Fridays, the Hope Collection and Optimize My Life proudly co-hosts Golden Rule Society, hosted the president of the Hope Collection, Ron Clayton, guest host with Nobel Peace Prize nominee and humanitarian award recipient, Captain Len Kane, and he talks about the kindness campaign, the Golden Rule Society, and other avenues of resources for help. Joel Griffin started the Hope Collection and Optimize My Life show to empower people and give them the tools to help others, to help others. The Optimize My Life show is sponsored by the Hope Collection, a not-for-profit organization, has programs that support 8 areas, or basically every area of your life. And not just for you, but for your family and others. They are faith, family, food, housing, wellness, energy, and education. The slogan is helping others by helping them help others. If you look at that situation, and you say 8 things, and that's why there's a broad base of things, and you have a slogan to help others, that sounds pretty synergetic. And you're right. Our goal is to optimize your life, give you help for lunch, and to optimize everybody's life, to help take them forward, improve the quality of life across the board for you, your family, your extended family, in their communities, in their regions, across the country, and even across the globe. The beauty of that is that overly exciting. It's about helping other people. And if you approach it, life with this respect, one, it's a terrific thing. And the circle of appreciation is approaching life in the viewpoint of not catching up, but when you only want to give, and what you do is that it takes the hook away. The objective is purely to help others, but the beauty is to help them to help others. It's a pay it forward, objective kind of approach. And you are building people to build people's lives, their neighborhoods, their families. Then everything begins to appreciate what this whole show is about. And we are excited about being able to offer this opportunity for you to come, to listen, to engage, and so forth. And welcome. Now, when you think about kindness, what comes to mind? You think about what you can do for others, which is great. Simple acts, the big and the ultimate act of kindness is what you can do for yourself and self-compassion. You take that compassion that you have for others and you give it to yourself. You know, you always notice when someone else is sick or someone else is sad or they're suffering in some way. But do you take the time to understand when you are suffering or you're struggling and what to do to help fix your situation? It involves acting the same way towards yourself when you're having a difficult time. Tend to ignore or notice something you don't like about yourself. And then instead of ignoring the pain with the stiff upper lip or gaslighting and everything's going to work out fine, taking the time to stop and tell yourself, this is really hard right now. What can I do to help myself in this moment? The first step is stop mercifully judging and criticizing yourself, things that you're not good at. Self-compassion means you are kind and understanding when confronted with your personal feelings. Because when you look at it all, no human on earth is perfect. And as you try to allow yourself to be more happy and healthy, and you do these things, take your diet, you exercise, whatever, because you care about yourself and not because that you believe you're worthless and acceptable. And understanding, importantly, having compassion for yourself means you honor and accept your faults. Things will not always go the way you want them to go. You'll encounter frustration. You'll encounter bad things. You'll make mistakes. You'll bump up against limitations. You'll fall short. And understanding that's just a big part of being human. And it's something we all share. That opens your heart up to the reality instead of trying to always butt your head against that wall and fighting against it. The more you'll be able to understand yourself, you know, self-kindness a lot of times gets misinterpreted with self-judgment. Self-judgment in a lot of people look at it as an avenue of realism. Well, but when you're judging, you're using emotions. And your emotions are there for one reason. And that is to help you survive. Emotions are critical. But the key to your emotions is understanding what happened during that time period and what caused those emotions, to help you move forward and not using them as or ignoring them. When you have self-compassion, you recognize that you're not perfect. But it's what you do with that realization that's important. And this is where the empowerment comes in. So you made a mistake. Okay. Now, would you be beating yourself up if your buddy made that mistake? Probably not. You would sit there and you would tell your buddy, it's okay. Let's figure out how to fix it. You need to do the same thing with yourself. The more you sit and struggle and you butt your head against what's going on and not accepting reality, and I'm not saying settle, because I understand how that can be misinterpreted as saying, okay, well, you know what? This isn't going to work, so I'm just going to settle for that. No, what I'm saying is you take those downfalls, you take those mistakes, you take those flaws, and you use them to your advantage and understand and accept, I can't do it this way. Fine. How can you do it to make it right? What is the next steps you have to take to continue on? You know, that's the big key to everything, is taking those thoughts, those feelings, and going to the next level with them. You know, when I started my business years ago, and, you know, I worried about failure. I worried about not succeeding. It held me back for a while. And then I started to learn how to do things. I started modifying what I was doing. And then I moved it during COVID to virtually, started getting help from others. The first thing people asked me is, what would you do if their business failed? And then it hit me, hearing this over and over again, you're preset into a thought process that it's going to fail. So you're automatically looking at things with one foot out the door. And my answer was, failure is not an option. I just haven't figured out the right way to do it yet. And once you go through that and you understand, okay, well, all right, then you're going in all in. And it may take a few tries. It may take forever. But setting up plans and deciding how this is going to work and alternatives to how you're going to do things, makes it so much easier. Frustration at not having things exactly how we want it. You isolate yourself and you believe that you're the only person struggling with this, which isn't true. We all struggle with things. A lot of times we struggle with the same things. You look at, you know, human suffering, look at the definition of what a human means. It means one that's more mortal and vulnerable and imperfect. And then we come into the whole mindfulness versus over-identification. You know, self-compassion requires a balanced approach with our negative emotions and feelings that are not suppressed or exaggerated or gaslit. It's an equal distance. We understand bad things are going to happen. Now, what do we do with those bad things? You know, you can't ignore your pain and feel compassion at the same time. You don't overanalyze. And then turn around and act negative, or be negative about it. know, the misconception with self-compassion is, is that you can be too self-compassionate, or that self-compassion is just a form of self-pity. But in reality, self-compassion is the antidote for self-pity. You're not saying poor me. You're not saying feel sorry for me. What you're saying is that when you have this compassion is you are understanding the facts of you. It helps you understand. What you're going through. You're analyzing it in a more scientific manner. You're just stating them as facts. I am mad because this happened. You're looking, the easiest way to have self-compassion when you're first starting out and doing it without feeling sorry for yourself is take yourself out of the equation. Look at it through another person's perspective. So take that situation and what those feelings are and put it on your friend. What would you say to your friend when this stuff happened? What would you say to your friend when they were feeling that way? And that shows, teaches you how to give that unbiased approach. When we start dealing with the self-criticism, we find ourselves tapping into your self-defense mechanism, your fight or flight response. And you start to either run away and ignore what's going on, or you turn around at the same time and end up defending it. And understanding all this is how we discern between fear of our feelings and the truth of our feelings. You know, we live in this misconception that we have to always be happy about everything. And that's not true. God gave us emotions for a reason. God gave us thoughts and feelings. He gave us free will for a reason. Everything is in our bodies is designed to work a certain way for a reason. And having self-compassion for yourself doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you vulnerable. It gives you inner strength. It teaches you resilience. You went through these hard obstacles that went, you know, in your life, and you survived them, and you landed on your feet. So when you're in, it teaches you how you've lived in the past, how to turn around and make it in the future. People who think about themselves are selfish. It's another misconception. But how, the question for you to think about is, how can you really take care of everybody else if you don't take care of yourself? How do you give everything to everybody else and not leave if you don't have anything for yourself? Not taking care of yourself and understanding what you're feeling doesn't help anyone. And parents have the hardest time juggling that. especially when you've got young kids and babies, because you spend so much time taking care of others. You just don't have the energy or the time to take care of yourself. It's okay to take a couple hours off and go hide somewhere in your room or whatever and let the kids do something. According to research being done, self-esteem increase is associated with the steady rise of narcissism. People who have high self-esteem is associated with the need to feel superior to others, to feel okay about oneself. In order to feel okay about oneself, you need to put the other one down. High self-esteem encourages us to maintain an unrealistic high view of ourselves in comparison to others. So there's articles that go on and on about high self-esteem and how bad it is, yada, yada, yada. The thing is that you can have two ways. You can be high self-esteem, feel good about yourself, but still have that compassion and have that deal to understand criticism and be willing and open. You can feel good about yourself and not feel superior about others. Self-esteem is all about, and this is a misconception that we have in this day and age. And the night radio show tonight will be talking all about the misconception between high self-esteem and being narcissistic. How you can't feel good about yourself, or how you can feel good about yourself, but how you're so closed-minded you don't see the world around you. Hi, country boy. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm wonderful. How are you doing, Mayor?
I'm doing phenomenal. There's been a bunch of studies out. We're talking about the kindness and emotions. And we're redoing the Wednesday format. So it's all about the Kindness Club and the Kindness Campaign and how self-awareness, self-compassion, your self-esteem is so important. And there's so many misconceptions out there about, you know, people with high self-esteem are narcissistic. Or, you know, the only way you can feel good about yourself is not having compassion for others. And I want to change that misconception. It's good to feel good about yourself, but still have that open mind. There's a line you can walk.
Oh, most definitely, because, see, in order for one to be able to grow, even in elementary school of life, one must realize that it's not about you. It's about him and his glory. He can use anybody that he wants. Doesn't matter what your handy capability is. Doesn't matter if you was born on the wrong side of the shrine. Loves me to say it doesn't matter really to him whether you graduated from Harvard or Yale or got out of jail. God can use anybody that he wants. And because of this infinite wisdom that surpasses all understanding, he has put certain things in everybody that no one in the world can do what you do, like you do when you do what you do. And somewhere along this growing up and maturing and understanding and taking yourself as button off, yeah, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you in what areas you are weak. Where you are weak, he says, I am strong. He can take anybody and give them a headline, give them a stage for the world. And if we don't want to do it, he says, I'll make the rocks cry out. And then I keep saying him, 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 him. I hope y'all picking up what I'm putting down, because he has enough power in the palm of his hand to make the world go round. Now, doesn't matter what part of the world you're in, doesn't matter what your denominational faith is, as long as you have something that calls faith, because if it's, he said it was good, saw it was good, and it was good, doesn't necessarily have to come in that order. But whatever you're studying and whatever your religious beliefs or background is, I can reassure you that if it's good and if you do good with it, then you're going to go good places. Good things are going to happen to you. Now, please understand, there are some things in life that are not going to work out. I don't know how they told us to write it down and put it in front of you and put the vision. But see, there's a blessing in every lesson, and there's a lesson in every blessing. Just because it doesn't work when you try it to make it work, because our time is not his time, doesn't mean it wasn't going to work. All it was is a growth. Keep telling me that your footsteps are ordered by, yeah, but you don't want to learn in the process, because life is nothing really when you break it down but a series of choices. Did y'all hear that? We serve an equal opportunity God that says, I'm going to give you life. That's my gift in you. I don't care. You didn't do nothing to learn it. You didn't do nothing to earn it. So each one of us, life is given. And what we do with our life is our gift back to the creator who created you to do what you do. So Nike says, just do it. But we're here to assist you. Because if you think for 1 minute that you can do everything in your lifetime that the divine creator told you to do by yourself, he didn't tell you to. Okay, so which means you're going to need some help. That's what hope does. We have no hidden agendas. We have no hidden motives. On what we do, we have every intention on blessing you. How? In every area that you need to be blessed in your life, we are well equipped. I call us super friends. Joel Griffin, who started this years ago with his infinite wisdom, he started gathering people as he was traveling around the world with the president, and his guy was just meeting people. And he met me on an international talk radio show. Matter of fact, the guy, Burl Walker, who invented this. But we collected people. I call us, well, see, everybody has their own interpretation of what they call. You can call it what you want to. The Hope Organization, I say we help one person every day. I grew up with that philosophy, each one, teach one, pay it forward. And see, the price is already paid, so when we try to help you, why? Because we care. You want me to say that part again? Why do we help you? Because we care enough to share enough information. Y'all keep in mind, we're in the information stage, and knowledge is power if you use the knowledge that we download to you. And please understand, you don't have to be good, and you don't have to do everything. We're a hope collection of super friends. We're super friendly. We're super kind, but we all work together to help bless humankind. That's why Mary says, we're launching. It has to start somewhere, and it has to stop somewhere. And I'm tired. I hope y'all like me. I don't want you to be tired, but I want you to be sick and tired of our children being bullied, our children being murdered. And keep in mind, bullies are not really jealous of who they're bullying. They're actually not happy with themselves. That's where it really, really starts. So as Mary came aboard the foundation and now is spearheading all these things that we're doing in these areas, we're looking and assessing what the problem really, really is, and we're finding out that the bullies out there that's causing all the misery don't really like themselves. Somewhere they need nurturing. So that's why I'm going to say one more thing, Mary. That's why I just told you that we have no hidden agendas or hidden motives on what we do. We want to love you in the area that you need to be loved in. We don't mind telling you that we're going to do unto others before they do unto you, because when you give some love, some hope, and kindness away, guess what happens? It comes right back your way. Joel Griffin calls it a cycle of appreciation. That's why we hug on each other, pat on each other, and probably, believe it or not, 80 to 90% of the people that I love on and hug on and do business with right now through the Hope Collection I've never even met. Eyes have never seen, ears have never heard on what blessings have been stored upon for you through the Hope Foundation. Back over to you, Mary.
You know, you talked about failure and how it's okay because it's not your time. I look at that too, but I also look at failure as okay, so this may not have gone right with what I am working on right now. What can I do differently the next time? What can I do to fix it? What can I do to change it? I use that as a stepping stone of, I just haven't learned the right way to do it yet. And it takes time to learn the right ways. And by the time you figure out the right way, that's when it's supposed to happen.
One of my mentors, Les Brown, says anything worth having and anything worth doing is worth doing wrongly until you figure out how to get it right. One cannot do what one has not been taught. So if God has you going down a road of your life with no GPS, an uncharted destiny, new inventions, new designs, new, he says, I'm going to do a new thing through you, then please understand some of the things that God has put into you that no one has ever been done may have never been done before. But just because it has never been done doesn't mean it's not going to be done. But see, if you're not willing, excuse my French, Mary, it has no gender, to man up upon the challenge, take upon the journey, that's what it is. Life is nothing but a journey. There's ups and downs. And I've been taught that even in elementary school. But they used to tell me, country boy, if you get knocked down, and please, if you haven't got knocked down yet, keep living. If you get knocked down, they always told me, try to land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. So certain things you will try. But again, it's not to be considered as failure. It's considered as a lesson. A blessing. What do you know now? Oh, if I'd only knew then what you know now. Fail a few times. Try a few things that don't work. If you've never failed, then you ain't really trying to do nothing that ain't already been done before. Because if God is speaking things to you and things to you and things to you, I didn't say what they said about you. I said what he said about you. He says, I got plans to prosper you. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Question for the day. What have you been saying to you about you? One more time. What have you been saying to you about you? Because regardless on what you've been saying to you about you, you're absolutely correct. You think you can do all things. You think you can come up with a cool idea. You think you can make money doing nails. You think you make money putting makeup on people. You think you make money doing puppet shows. Yeah, you're exactly right. But if you think you cannot, you're right. You're exactly right. Because if you don't think you can do it, ain't nobody else going to think it for you. So is a man thinketh, so is he. Last one right here. I asked you a question. You need to ask yourself that same question. What have I been saying to me about me? Oh, yeah, I'm going to have that self-conversation off the air with myself again today, every day. I said, country boy, what are you going to do today? Are you going to do it with excellence? Are you going to do it with great anticipation that you can help, help, help somebody else, yeah, then you start to see that when you start to understand that if it's not about you, that if you're always looking, it says in the word, you should be blessed in your going and your coming. What if you are the hidden blessing? Because there's a cause and effect. Because you're obedient to doing what the divine creator has placed inside of you, that means that you are the answer to somebody else's blessing. Back over you, Mary.
You Google right now. Self-esteem, high self-esteem. The definition means you believe in yourself and know that you are a great addition to this world. You might have some weaknesses. You might have strengths. And it all shapes who you are. But then if you keep scrolling down a little bit, there's nothing good that's about high self-esteem. We are holding ourselves back with the more knowledge we're getting, or are we accepting what we see? Because we have, in this day and age, have been taught people with high self-esteem are bad. We're being taught that high self-esteem means you're convoluted, that you're self-absorbed. This one that has nothing to do with the other. So because I believe that I am good at what I do doesn't mean that I'm self-centered. It doesn't mean anything. I'm just happy with who I am. And I struggled all the way around in life with self-esteem as a kid because of the way I look. I was one of those kids that was taller than the boys in elementary school. I was built a certain way. So people wanted to be friends with me because of the way I looked, not because of what I said or who I was. And I struggled a lot. And I learned a lot growing up. And for me, the Army was a good outlet for me because you weren't judged on who you were. You were judged on your abilities and what you did. You were treated like a regular person.
But Mary, at what point of our life did we get the switch? Because my grandmama told me as a youthful age, when I was a child, I never thought as a child, but she says, baby, let me explain something to you. Anytime you can explain things to people and it makes sense to them, it's usually man-made stuff. But she told me anytime something happened or you like running, get engaged in your life and it doesn't make any sense to you, you can't really explain it, it comes from a higher being. She says, now keep in mind, if it does not make any sense to you, how in the world are you going to explain it to somebody else and have it to make sense to them? So that's where this isolation is, where it comes in, where we're in right now. Regardless on who you are, where you are, there is a time for every purpose under heaven. And if you feel like you're alone, you can be alone. You can be alone without being lonely. You can be in a crowd of people and be lonely. But if you're in the spirit and seem like you've been set aside, like most of the people in America, been on lockdown for a crime that you didn't even commit, then here is where you have that head-on collision with the person that created you. Oh, when them Southern Baptist people would say, I was once lost, but now I'm found. What does that mean? You can't really be lost from somewhere if you don't first belong to somewhere. So when the divine creator took you out of eternity and placed you in time, you was born into this world not even knowing your own name. Yeah, you went by what they called you. And then when they said, country boy, you're going to be something when you grow up. Country boy, you're going to be great. Country boy, you're going to travel the world. I believe them. And I did. And I'm doing. what they said about me. But what if you're one of them people that got bullied and say, you're nothing, you're never going to be nothing, you're a little runt, you're a cast out, you're the black sheep of the family, you, and then all of a sudden you start to believe, one must believe that I am, that I am, that I am. And if you don't believe that you are, then who's going to believe it for you? And that's how their self-esteem button got shut down, because you was born into this world not even knowing your own name, and then you find yourself 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, some of us, I'm talking about us, oh geez, I'm 60. When I said you was lost and then got found and had a head-on collision with the person that created you, oh, and he started to whisper in your spirit of isolation who you really are, but then they talk about being born again, not going back in your mama's, yeah. He says, I was lost, but now I know who I am. I remember when I was coming through high school, I said, oh, I finally got myself together. So late one night, I was so confused. I didn't even know how to get my godly news. I didn't know that I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I felt like hell would become my destiny. I was depressed. I knew nothing about self-esteem. Then they said, well, look, country, you need to take your spirit of isolation and hook up with Mary, hook up with Ryan Clayton, or Rick, hook up with a hope man, hook up with Kurt, hook up with some people that don't mind helping you. And that's what the Hope Collection, we help people so they can help other people. That's each one, teach one. It's a blessing to be. Are you to be? Or are you not to be? Mary, I know.
Yes, sir.
You're to be, you're starting a revolution, sweetie, high-fiving you through the airways right now for what you're doing, what God has placed inside of you to do. Excuse my friends, I just feel like being nasty today, and ain't a demon in hell can stop you. Back to you, Mary.
Thank you. You know, this whole trick system is set up with the increase in population and coaches and people who claim to be professionals, and coaching industry is a highly unregulated industry. You don't need a lot of training to be a coach. And you run on a theory, and this is how we end up with the gaslighting, where we have an overwhelming amount of coaches that are all about mindset, because that's the new popular trend, especially after COVID, is that, you know, we have to feel better about ourselves. And the only way you can feel better about yourselves is through thinking positive. The problem with that is that you're not being realistic. You turn every thought into a positive thought. You turn everything into a positive. You're not realizing and thinking about what you're going through, what you're dealing with. God gave every person thoughts, free will, and emotions. And we teach our children from a very young age that the only emotions that are good are happy emotions. And we need to change the cycle on that. We need to teach our children and reteach adults that all emotions are good. How you project those emotions is bad. Getting physically hurting, violence, you know, verbal assaults, things like that, that's bad. But being angry is okay. Being sad is okay. And once you accept that it's okay to be sad, it helps you deal with things. You know, we have such an increase in mental health issues with like anxiety and depression right now. But are you really depressed because you're sad? Or is it just you're sad? And not understanding why you're sad is what gives you the depression, which is why you look at a lot of people and they go straight on antidepressants, but nothing else. It doesn't help fix the problem. What fixes the problem is stopping and looking at yourself, looking at the scenarios you're in. Why do you feel sad? And not asking the why question. Looking at the most important thing is looking at the what question. what happened to cause me to feel sad? What happened in my life that caused this? And when you look at it that way, you can start building the steps to improve your feelings, your emotions, and understanding. And the more you understand yourself, the more you increase your self-esteem. Your self-esteem is strictly based on how you think and feel about yourself. And you can't increase your self-esteem until you understand what you are feeling at that time.
And Mary, I'm glad you gave us the emotion button, because even as a child, oh, big boys don't cry. Who told you that lie? You hear it all your life. Big boys don't cry. Did you know that big boys have more emotions than little girls? We are very sensitive. We get hurt very easily. We're very simple kind of beings. But what happens in the process is God says, I'm going to give you something called emotions that makes you different from every other creature on the planet. It makes one feel alive. Although I love the sunshine, I must still accept some rain, even though I love the goodness. See what happens, and again, they used to tell me, anytime you tell yourself something positive that you can do it. And then Jezebel, the spirit of the devil, will show up and say, oh, you can't do that. No one has ever done that. You're too little for that. Who said you could do that? You don't even have a GED. You don't weigh enough. You're not tall enough to play basketball. All these things will come at you until you come into, you may not be able to be transformed, but you're going to be transformed. Ask Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson came out on the scene and says, I'm bad. James Brown said it. I'm bad. And everybody believed him. But if you told yourself I'm bad, would anybody believe you? But when he said I'm bad, he actually meant I was good. So does that mean if bad is good, does that mean good is bad? Oh, y'all missed that. Let me rewind real fast. Michael Jackson says I'm bad, but that means he's good. Elvis Presley says, I'm bad, king. I'm the king of rock and roll. I'm bad like that. The bad boys, they said I'm bad too. They said it and believed it, and everybody else believed that they was bad, but they actually was good because they believed that they was bad. They believed. I'm a bad boy. Yeah, I'm Muhammad Ali. I just got to be watching one of his videos. He says, I'm the greatest in the world. He believed it. And guess what happened? He became the greatest in the world. So here's the thing about it. If you say you can do it, I just said this a few minutes ago. Rewind. If you believe that you can, then you can. If you believe that you can't, you're absolutely right. Again, because it says self. Mary, just put it out there. Let me spell it out for you. S-E-L-F. Why do you think they call it self? Esteem.
Hey, country boy, I'm going to interrupt you in 1 second.
Even you. Go ahead, Mary.
We have a special guest that doesn't come on the show very often. Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm bad.
Oh, man. You certainly are. You've been playing by the river, got thick roots, man. People that don't mind staying underneath the dirt, go through the flood with you, just in your life to help strengthen you. Oh, man, I'm going to call you out again today. I get real tickled when you didn't live the lifestyle that you have, but just start, we're talking about children and raising them up the way she would go. So if you don't mind, oh, help us out, Oakman, real quickly. Talk to me about how many grandkids and kids and that generation folks you got in your family.
You know, there's a saying, whatever we believe, we can achieve. Yeah, uh-huh. I've been a promoter of that all my life. And I told my children that all their life. If you believe you can do something, you can do it. You know, you have to believe it, though. And that's so important.
Did you believe you was going to be a mighty oak that has enough power in you to hold up a bunch of other limbs and thousands of leaves that might just come and go? Just endured the storm and the tornado, and when the hurricane come through, oak man is still standing out there in the weather, ain't like nothing ain't wrong.
Amen to that.
But Oak Man, doing the course now, you talk to us. You got family, man. You got kids and grandkids, Oak Man.
Great stuff, Mary. Great stuff you're doing here. I appreciate it. You're doing a great job for us. Thank you. And for everybody that's listening, you're doing a great job.
Hey, Derek's been worried about you.
I'm sorry?
Derek's been worried. He hasn't been able to talk to you.
Yeah.
He's been concerned. We don't carry the spirit of worry around. He was just concerned.
Well, time is important. And it don't matter where you're at, what time it is. It's important no matter where we're at and what we're doing. And the importance is to do the things that God wants us to do and to and to listen. Because he's telling us, he's talking to us every day, every minute, and just listen. And you say, well, I can't hear him talking. Well, it'll come in your mind. It'll come in your subconscious. And you, if you're paying attention, you will react. So it's very important for us to pay attention. Somebody I know used to say, well, I can't afford to pay attention.
And my grandmother would tell me you can't afford not to pay attention.
That's right. Amen.
All right. Thank you for joining me today. We're almost out of time for today.
Yeah, good to hear you
always,
old man.
Is Bob
well, I was driving into Pennsylvania, and I got to an area where I could stop. And so I said, well, I'm going to call in now, see what's going on. And I'm glad I did.
Great to hear everybody.
I found out I'm bad.
You're bad, Bob. You're bad, Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Overton. How are you?
I'm doing good. How was everyone's Thanksgiving?
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I got a two-parter. The following day after my Thanksgiving was my birthday, actually, and so I'm on a what's it called a late 20s now, so I leave it at that, you know. Just,
well, late happy birthday.
Saying, I can finally, yeah, thank you. It's so incredible saying I'm growing silver hair now. Get out of here.
Hey.
Me being insecure as I am, I immediately went to the mirror to check that out.
Hey, mine's Friday, so shh.
That's right, it is.
Yuppers. Because you're getting older, it's okay.
You're not getting older, you're getting refined.
I stopped counting at 40, so yeah.
Yeah. I started counting at 60.
Well, my mentor just turned 82, and he named our company Age. Y'all, if y'all hadn't been to my website, we custom designed bottled water to help raise money. AGE delivers. His saying is there should be no water before it's time. We know we borrowed that from the wine company, but you can live without wine, but you can't live without water. And whether you're a lake, Mary, and whether you're a river that's over there next to Oak Man, or whether you're going to be a big ocean like Kurt, doesn't really matter. You guys are all in different parts of the country. You all flow, but you're all water. And you're all bringing life to different people. So it doesn't matter, Kirk, if they call you a little bitty little old pond. Doesn't matter, Mary, if they say this woman is starting a tsunami. Doesn't matter what one says about you. It only matters what you say about you. What have you been saying to you about you? I just call myself a super friend. I told you. We got super friends. You heard, oh, man, what state you in, Bob?
New Jersey.
And Mary's, what state are you in, Bob?
Right now, I'm in Pennsylvania, but I'm from New Jersey. Actually, I'm
from Jersey. There he is. Mary's way out in sea. Al Rick's in Colorado. Ron's in Buffalo, New York. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I just talked to a friend of mine just a few minutes ago. She's in the Philippines listening on. It's 12 midnight in the Philippines. Oakman says, time. There's a time for every purpose in the heaven. It's a blessing to be a blessing. If everybody could bless themselves, we wouldn't need each other. But in order for you to be blessed, you must, not maybe, you must be listening right now. Yeah, you must be at the right place, at the right time, with the right people. So if you're listening in, regardless on where you are, one more time, the Hope Foundation, we help people help other people. Yeah, we started in an elementary school. It's a blessing to be a blessing. So we have no hidden agendas and hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you. Back to you, Mary.
So we are almost out of time for today. So tomorrow is family time with Bob. And Friday it will be Ron Clayton and Len King talking about the Kindness Club. And join us tonight at 7 Eastern. Same number, same place. And we're talking about self-esteem. What is considered, is self-esteem, high self-esteem, good or bad? And it's also our call-in line for our teens and individuals that are looking for references, tips, guides, or just a little bit of advice on what they can do to fix what they're struggling with in life.
What's the starting time on that, Mary?
7 Eastern. 7 p.m. Eastern.
7 Eastern. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
Great
you
day.
You have a blessed day.
You too. And we'll see you back here next week. And we're still talking about kindness and emotions and how kindness is the steps to ending bullying. Have a good night and good day, and see you guys next week.
Awesome, Mary. Good job, sweetie.